It's Morning Edition from NHPR. We're less than 1 week away from the primary election in New Hampshire. As with any election, candidates are racing around the state to knock on doors and shake as many hands as possible. But this mad dash to finish is especially frantic for the 11 Democrats running for the first congressional district seat. NHPR's Lauren Chulchan joins us in the studio now to tell us more about it. Good morning, Lauren.
Good morning.
So this is the biggest Democratic primary field in recent history. Give us a sense of how this last week is shaping up for these 11 candidates.
So if you ask the campaigns, they say it feels a lot different than the last few months has. And not just because this thing is almost over, as you said, but because it feels like voters are finally listening to what they're saying. New Hampshire holds one of the latest primary elections in the country. And so for most of the campaign season, voters have been out of town or in summer mode. I hear about this all the time. Canvassers are knocking on empty houses, or they're trying to hand off literature to a family that's like scrambling to get to soccer practice. And then if they do get someone on the phone, they'll find that many voters haven't been paying super close attention to this race. Here's Elizabeth Jones. She's been volunteering for Chris Pappas.
You know, you make phone calls. They say, oh, that's okay, honey. I always vote Democrat. It's like, right, but this is a primary. There's 10, 11 Democrats. I always vote Democrat. Click. I'm like, what is it you're not getting about what a primary is?
So now that Labor Day has passed and we've obviously turned the corner here from summer to back to school time, campaigns are telling me they're getting a lot more inquiries from voters and they're getting more of those phone calls answered.
So now that people are paying a bit more attention, where do these campaigns seem to be focusing their efforts?
So this district stretches from the southeastern corner of the state over to Manchester, and then it goes up as far north as Jackson up in the White Mountains. So given that, a lot of campaigns have their eyes on the Seacoast and Manchester. They're both big Democratic population centers, but they're also home or close to home to the majority of these candidates. So on the Seacoast, we have Maura Sullivan, Degla McEachran, Mindy Mesmer, Lincoln Soldati. And then Naomi Andrews is in Epping and Terrence O'Rourke is from Rochester. So not super far away. And then in Manchester, we've got Chris Pappas, Mark McKenzie. They both have really long Manchester ties. So there's a lot of overlap in these big areas. I talk with Dante Scala a lot about this. He's a political science professor at UNH. And he thinks Pappas will do well in Manchester because he's represented it in the executive council for several years, been on a ballot recently, etc. But he also says there could be some room for other candidates to poke holes.
It's highly unlikely you're going to win Manchester over Chris Pappas, but if you can keep the margins within reach, the other half of the challenge is how do you break out of the Seacoast and find a way to win a large portion of that vote?
Okay, Lauren, well, that leaves out the northern part of the district. Is anyone paying attention to areas like, you know, Carroll County?
Yeah, so, I mean, all the candidates would tell you everybody's important, Rick. But I did speak at length recently with candidate Mark McKenzie. He's the former AFL-CIO president here. And he told me recently he actually thinks the race is going to be won in parts of Belknap and Carroll counties. So he's got volunteers canvassing up there. And it may not seem that there are a ton of votes up there when compared to some of the bigger cities in the district like Portsmouth or Dover. But if you think about it, with 11 candidates, everyone is going to get something. And as Dante Scala puts it, all those somethings are going to add up. So if you win smaller towns, that'll be important because it could take away from the largest vote share. And this logic especially works up north because there's not a particular candidate that can lay any strong claim to the area. So that's where Scala says commercials or canvassing and mailers could make a difference.
Okay, but this all depends, of course, on how many people actually turn out to vote.
Right. So that's a huge part of this equation, right? I mean, who knows what's going to happen? We hear a lot about Democratic activism in the age of Trump. Maybe that brings people out. But how that splits up in a primary really remains to be seen. And it's hard to find an apples-to-apples comparison from past elections, since this is obviously quite unique. But a number of people often use 32,000, and that's the number of Democratic ballots that were cast for Carol Shea Porter in the last primary. But that year, Shea Porter was running unopposed and as an incumbent, and this cycle isn't a presidential year. So there's not also a big Senate race or a really flashy gubernatorial primary. So you get it. There's going to have to be people who come out specifically for this race. And so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, always tough when you don't have more of those big ticket races. So given all of this, do any campaigns have a sense of how many voters they need to win this thing?
Yeah, so I get a variety of answers on this. Some people won't say. Others say it's really dependent on turnout, like we're talking about. But let's say, for example, turnout remains about the same. And with a big field like this, it's hard to imagine someone takes home half that unless they really blow it out. But it's entirely possible a person could win this thing with 20 to 30% of the vote. The Soldati campaign, for example, told me they're focusing a lot on Stratford County. It's because it's about 20% of the district. And Soldati is well known there because he was elected 9 times as Stratford County attorney. So they figure even if you can't win the whole county, you can still make a solid dent. It's a lot of weird math, Rick, but I'm really interested to see how it all plays out.
Okay, and you will be watching and reporting it for us. That's NHPR's Lauren Chulchan. We'll be hearing much more from her this week about the Republican side of the race as well. So thanks, Lauren.
You're welcome.
It's Morning Edition from NHPR.